you know, a lot of the stuff might be unfamiliar to you, you know, and uncomfortable to you, you know, the singing or the raising of the hands, or which is all biblical, by the way, and or the, you know, the talking out loud to the Lord, or, you know, people saying amen in their seats when they get excited. First of all, it's important to understand all this stuff is explained by the Bible, but you have to understand that God is a God that his arms are wide open. That no matter what your background is, no matter where you've come from and what your ideas are of God, I'm a great example that I thought that God was mad at me. I thought that I was never worthy to be a church person, right? And I never thought I was worthy to receive, you know, to have a relationship with him. But then I found out who he was, and that he doesn't want to make your life hard. He doesn't want to make your life boring. He doesn't want to make your life miserable. You don't have to, you know, I'll admit, a lot of Christians give Christianity and God a bad name, a bad reputation. And people say, well, why would I want that? Well, we don't look at other people. We look at the Savior. And Jesus, his arms are wide open. He wants to take your life. You might even say, Pastor Mike, I really can't complain about my life. Well, he wants to take it and make it even better than that. Or you might say, you know, I'm unhappy with my life. I can't get a good job. My life seems uncertain, or, you know, I'm having problems here. He wants to help you get victory in every area of your life. And so don't let the uncomfortableness of the unfamiliarity of church and different things of the raising of the hands and the singing sway you and get your mind so bogged down that, oh my gosh, I don't think I want to do this anymore, when it's him that we're focused on. And he's got good things for you. Amen? So I'm excited about this morning. Let's go to our key text here, Psalm 35 and verse 27. This is the fourth week of our series that God had me start and put on my heart a few weeks ago. Psalm 35, and I'm going to pray as we get into the Word. You know, when people see me in my, I don't know what the typical Christian is, or I've seen a lot of weirdos, I know that, and I don't ever want to be that. My goodness, I have fun in life. I enjoy life. I laugh all the time. I have a good sense of humor, I think. At least I make myself laugh. I mean, I think I'm pretty funny to myself, but I don't know. You be the judge of that. I enjoy life. I enjoy the things God has provided, you know. You don't become some weird robot when you accept Christ. You become a victorious human being is what you become. And so, hallelujah, let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word this morning. We honor you and bless you. We're so thankful. This is our help. This is our roadmap. This is our GPS unto good things, Father. So we thank you. You're going to speak to us, talk to each person on an individual, personal basis, Father. Speak something from my lips that came from heaven that you put in my heart that I say that then impacts them, Father, that hits bullseyes in their heart this morning. Say something through me, Father, that is going to bless every single person. And Father, when that happens, it'll be a sign unto them that you're real, that you love them, and that you have good things for them. But also, Father, it'll be a sign in them that this is a safe place where they can come and have a supernatural encounter with you. And so, Father, we thank you for that this morning. I think you're going to say things through my mouth, Father, and speak to hearts concerning things that I had no idea was going on. No idea what people were facing. But Father, that's because you're wonderful and that's how good you are. And so we thank you for it beforehand. We say we're changed. We go from one level of glory to a new level of glory today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the series I started, if you're visiting, I don't have time to even review the whole thing. I'm not going to. I encourage you to get on live stream and listen to that. But God's teaching us how to prosper financially. In Psalm 35, 27, it says, let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yeah, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified. Now notice this, this goes against my teaching growing up, and this goes against what I thought growing up about God. It said, who has pleasure? What's pleasure? Pleasure's good things. He gets a good feeling, right? It's a good experience. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Well, if he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servant, how much more does he take pleasure in the prosperity of his children? I want everybody to prosper in life, but not the way I want my children to prosper. Why? They're my kids. Just like you want your kids to be blessed and helped. Well, God wants his kids to be blessed. And what prosperity is when you're talking In life, there's a lot with prosperity, right? There's health, there's peace of mind, there's freedom from fear, anxiety, depression, and all those are available. We're focusing in on the financial aspect in this series. And prosperity defined God's way in 2 Corinthians 9, we won't turn there, is you having enough always to pay your bills, to do what you need to do in your life, anything that comes your way, having your needs met, right? But not just stopping there, because God calls us to be generous. But we can't be generous until we're taken care of. You can't give of what you don't have. And so God has two reasons why he wants you to prosper. Number one, you're his child. He loves you. But second of all, when we're building buildings and sending missionaries and sending ministers around the country, writing books and doing outreaches and different things like that, those things cost money. And God expects his children to pay for it. Well, if he's going to expect us to pay for it, he's going to have to prosper us. Amen. To get our needs met, which he's involved with, and then going forward to be a blessing to others. So he said, I want you to prosper. I take pleasure in it. Well, then we saw in Isaiah 48, 17, if you turn there, Isaiah 48, 17, this was our second key text, and this is really, besides just a couple comments after this, the extent of the review I'll have time to do. I mean, there's broccoli cheese soup waiting. We can't wait too long here. We know what happens. Nobody's out stirring that stuff. We know what's happening. It's getting clumpy, and it's getting sticky, so let's go. Faster on your turning, okay? Just let's go. 48:17 says, thus says the Lord, thy Redeemer. Of course, I'm kidding. My goodness, the word's more important. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. He said, I am the Lord thy God, which teacheth you to profit. So not only does he want us to profit, he said, I'll show you how. Praise God. Which teacheth you to profit. He said, which leadeth you by the way that you should go. Now, God will lead you, but you know how he won't lead you? He will not handcuff you or lasso you and drag you his way. He doesn't do that. Remember when Jesus came upon the disciples? He said, come, follow me. I'll change your life. He didn't force them to do it. In fact, we see when he came to the rich young ruler in the Bible, he gave him the same opportunity as the disciples. He said, come, follow me. And he wouldn't do it. But with the disciples, They listened, right? And they led, and their lives were changed. Their world was flipped upside down for the better. Hallelujah. These average men turned into champions that we talk about 2,000-some years later. Praise God. Uneducated people that flipped the world up on its head. Glory to God. That's awesome. And when he says, I'll lead you into prosperity, I'll lead you into profit in your life, the way he's going to do that is by instructing you, right? Now, just like I told you about my son, it's a good example to go back to. Tried to teach him how to swim. I tried last year. Tried for the beginning part of the when we started swimming this year. Even up until about 5 minutes before he actually did what I said, I was trying to teach him how to swim, and he wasn't listening to me. He was doing it his own way, and he was struggling. And you know, with his floaties on, he'd swim right across level. You know, he'd take those floaties off. His legs would go like this. He'd start a kicking and a splashing, and his head just staying above water. And I'd look at him like, what in the world are you doing? That is not what I said to do. And was he struggling to stay above water, right? That's what most Christians are like. Struggling to just keep their nose above the water. Why? They're not doing it God's way. If you do it God's way, he said, I'll lead you into prosperity. I'll lead you into profiting. Well, how does he show us how to do it? Number one is by the word of God. He gives us instruction by the word. And we looked at in the last 2 weeks, the beginning stages of prosperity. There's a man side and a God side, right? Actually, Josh, real quick, I wasn't going to go there, but Psalms 112 and verse 1. It's important to see this. So God gives us his word. Now, what do we do with that word? We're supposed to do the word. Jesus said that people that hear the word and don't do it are stupid. Said, Pastor, he said that. I promise he did. Yeah. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Verse 24 through 27. Why? He's saying, he used the word fool, but you look up a similar definition to the word fool, it's the word stupid. That's what it is. Yeah. He's saying, why won't you do what I say? I'm God. Yeah. I know how everything works in the world. I know how to get you better. Right. And he's saying, why won't you do it? It's foolish not to. Psalm 112, verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, blessed is the man that fears the Lord, that delights greatly in his commandments. Well, what's his commandments? His commandments are his teachings, his word. The Bible says the man that delights greatly, that says, oh, I'm so thankful for this. Oh, thank you for the instruction. Thank you for the correction. The Bible says that person, because if you're delighting greatly in his commandments, you're probably doing his commandments. It says, blessed is that person, verse 2. It says, his seed, so it affects other people. His seed shall be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. But go to verse 3. Wealth and riches. Anybody want that in their life? Wealth and riches shall be in his house. Whose house? The one that delights greatly in the things that God has said. The one that does what God has said. Jesus said, if you do the word, if you hear it and do it, you'll be like a man that built his house upon a rock. And when the storms of life come, because the storms of life come, and if they're not with you right now, hold on, they're coming. Just check the spiritual radar. They're off in the Midwest right now, but they'll come. But we're not afraid of that. Jesus said, in me, you'll have tribulation in the world, but have peace. I've overcome those things. You do it through me, you'll overcome it. It's not a big deal. But he said, wealth and riches shall be in his house, the one that does the word. So when it comes to prosperity, we got to do what the Bible says. And the first two things we looked at in the last 2 weeks was the starting gate is the tithe. The tithe is a non-negotiable thing of obedience with God. What is the tithe? The tenth part. He said, it's holy unto me. He said, it belongs to me. He said, it will open the windows of heaven. See, when you look at the tithe through the glasses of, oh, God's trying to take from me, the church trying to manipulate money, you won't be excited about the tithe. But when you look at the tithe through what God has said, he said, it's going to bless the church, but also I'm going to open you the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings so increase comes to your life. That's the starting point, opening the windows. The person that won't start at the tithe, their blessings are like that bird that doesn't see that glass and just flies smack, smack, smack right into it. Just, I want to get in there, something in there I want. Just boom. The blessings just keep hitting the window. You'll never get to the full prosperity and blessings that God has for you until you start tithing. What is it? You don't tithe when it's convenient. You don't tithe when you're able. You're always able if you do it first. When the money comes in, the first 10% does not go to the electric bill. It does not go to the heating bill. It does not go to this and this and this in my life. It goes to God. You say, Pastor, that is harsh. No, that is the word of God that will get you blessed. That will get you blessed. And if you say, I'm not doing that or I don't believe that, then you don't trust God. And you have a bigger issue. If the money issue, remember we said that, if the money issue bothers you at all, you have a heart problem. Because Jesus said, where your money is, your heart is. And if he says, I want your money, he's also saying, I want your heart. And if you say, I'm not giving you my money, you're saying, Lord, I don't want to give you my heart either. That's just the word, I know. But the people that will cross that threshold and just start doing the word, they're the ones that are blessed and don't look back. And then the second thing we looked at last week was that there's tithes and offerings. Offerings are anything above the 10%. And your harvest is dependent upon your offering, right? You got to sow seed. See, a lot of people right now are struggling because back in seed time, there was no seed put in the ground. So now harvest time comes, and it's like the farmer that walks out into their field and didn't plant any seed during seed time, yet the guy across the street did, and he's watching him harvest all the crops. And the farmer said, where's mine? Where's mine? Where's mine? And the farmer across the street said, hey, dummy, you didn't plant any seed. The seeds that you planted yesterday is the harvest you're living in today. And the seeds you'll plant today will be the harvest you'll walk into tomorrow. You have to sow seed. And Paul told us, a minister of the gospel. I mean, he you ought to just put him on TV and just have an expose about Paul the greedy apostle. No, Paul was a man of faith and integrity and character. And he said, if you sow little, you'll reap little. If you sow much, you'll reap much. So don't complain about not having enough if you don't put seed in the ground. You're foolish. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, he reaps. So it starts in two places by the word, directs us. Two places tells us, bring a tithe, give an offering. Hallelujah. So let's go on to the next step, which might be the most important message in this financial message. Yes, see, the first two is assuming you're obeying the word of God. And again, let me just say it this way. We didn't even cover this, but we're just assuming you know this. If you're not faithfully planted in a church here in the Word of God, you don't qualify for prosperity. Well, that went over like a lead balloon. If you're not in a church planted in a Bible-teaching Holy Ghost church, didn't say this one, in a Holy Ghost Bible-teaching, this is one of those, but I didn't say it have to be here. But if you're not planted here in the Word of God, being consistently watered by the Word, you don't qualify for prosperity. because you're like a dried up flower that's been sitting in the sun being scorched and not getting watered. You don't prosper that way. Bible says, they that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. I'm just the preacher, right? You don't throw eggs at the mailman when he drops off a bill. Don't throw them at me today, because we're going to have eggs over there. And you know what? You can pick my egg. It will not be hard-boiled, Jim. He keeps accusing me that my egg was hard-boiled last year. It wasn't. Kale and I are just awesome at egg tosses. Amen. You'll see what I mean. Man, I've talked a lot of trash, Kale. I'll probably be the one first tossed. Crack the egg or drop the balloon. You watch. Praise the Lord. So anyways, he said, I'll lead you. So one way is his word. Now go to Romans 8, 14. We're going on now. Praise God. If you can't first obey the written word, don't even plan on going to this part. Because if you don't obey what God has already wrote in his word, then when this part comes, he's not going to be telling you how to prosper. He's going to be telling you, obey my word.
That's right.
It's kind of like the person that doesn't go to church and doesn't think they need a pastor. It's not the act of going to church that does anything. God could give a rip.
That's right.
He already loves you as much as he's ever going to love you if you go to church or not.
Yeah.
Going to church and hearing the word blesses you. Yeah. It doesn't do anything to change how God feels about you. Walking through those doors and sitting down doesn't do anything for God. Reading your Bible doesn't do anything for God. It does something for you, though.
Right.
Absolutely. It's like the person that sits at home and says, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to church. Yet the Bible tells you, go to church. Go to church, get a pastor. Well, they say, I don't need to go. I'm in tune with Jesus. It's just me, Jesus, and my Bible. Well, if it really was you, Jesus, and your Bible, your Jesus and your Bible would be telling you, get your butt to church. Because that's what it says. Just telling you the truth. Glory to God. We're on one today. Praise God. Romans, this is the pregame. The pregame to what? The egg toss. I'm ready for this thing. My goodness. Romans 8 and verse 14. Says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Bible tells us, remember he said, I will teach you and lead you in the way that you should go. Well, what way should we go? Into the way of prosperity. Well, one way that he's going to teach and lead you is by his written word. The other way that he's going to teach you and lead you into the prosperity that you've never experienced before is by following the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go with me to John chapter 14 and verse 16. John 14 and verse 16. Oh, God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. John 14 and verse 16. This is Jesus talking. He says, and I will pray or ask the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now, for those of you that aren't aware of this, he's talking about when he dies on the cross and goes to heaven, he says, I'm going to give you a comforter. Well, what's he talking about going to give us a comforter? Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth. So the Bible says when Jesus died and went to and rose again and went to heaven, and when you accept Christ as your Savior, the Spirit of God moves into your heart. That's what's called born again, recreating your spirit. The Spirit of God comes in and dwells, says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him. Notice this, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. Well, the Bible says the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. The Bible says the spirit is the center of man, the heart of man, the centermost part of a man is where the Spirit of God dwells. Now go with me to John 16 and verse 13. So the Bible says the Spirit of God, ladies and gentlemen, in case you don't realize, God lives in you. If you would even just get that revelation in your life, victory would be yours. You would feel like you are such an unstoppable force in life if you realize God is in you. Never in history. In fact, in the Old Testament, they carried him around in a box. The Spirit of God was carried around in the Ark of the Covenant in a box, or it was housed in a temple. And when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says the veil was cut in the temple. It was ripped. God busted out of that place and moved into you and moved into me. Hallelujah. We have it so good, yet we have been so bogged down in our minds that we are nothing but weasels and scum of the earth who are supposed to be miserable until we get to the sweet by and by. You have God in you, and my God has never failed, and he didn't expect to go into you to become a failure. You must get the revelation of what is on the inside of you. What you're carrying around. When bills show up that you can't pay, who's in you? When a job situation or a situation with a person or a circumstance in your body arises, who's in you? A lot of people forget who's in them. Remember the disciples on the boat? Jesus said in Mark 4, let's go to the other side. Jesus went to the back of the boat and took a nap. A storm arose. The disciples said, we're dying, we're dying, we're dying. They forgot who was with them. And they went and woke him up, and he's thinking, you think this boat's going down while I'm taking a nap? You think, after everything I've told you, that we're going to sink today and die? You forgot, boys, who was with you. And Christians all the time, they wake up every day forgetting who's with them. Every day. They have no awareness that God's with them. And I'll tell you what, and that's why people don't see the power. You can turn the lights off in here. You can turn the lights off in here and walk in here and want it to be brighter. And there's electricity flowing. The ability to benefit from those lights are there, but you got to turn the switch on. Yeah. Christians are going around with God on the inside of them and living defeated lives, miserable lives, depressed lives, angry lives, bitter lives. Why? Didn't turn the power on, yeah. Although he was in there the whole time. You can't be in here with the lights off and say, oh, gosh, I sure wish we had electricity. Turn the power on. Yeah. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I will be in you. I will dwell in you. Glory to God. Got to get that revelation. Got to get that revelation. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So you may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man will do to me. I'm an overcomer. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I mean, I'm excited about that. Praise God. John 14, he said, he'll be in you. Well, look at what it says in verse 13. Howbeit he, the Spirit of truth has come. Notice this, he will guide. He will guide. What's that word guide mean? To lead. You ever been on a tour with a tour guide or something? What do? They're leading you to different destinations. They're leading you to different places to bless you, right? Maybe you go into a foreign country or even a city that you're not aware of and you take a tour. You get on a bus and take a tour and there's a tour guide with a microphone and they're showing you things as you're going down in the bus. They say, this is that. Or you get off the bus and they're leading the tour and they say, okay, and this was that, and this was that. What? They're there to bless you, to show you things that you don't know. Yeah. He'll guide you into what is in his word for you, which is prosperity. Amen. So he'll guide you by the word, but now he's saying, I'll also lead you by the Holy Ghost into prosperity. Now, Brother Hagin, my spiritual great-grandpa, you say, who's your spiritual grandpa? Dr. Dufresne, and my spiritual daddy, Pastor Michael Lacata. Right? Just in case you were wondering. You might not have been, but at least now you know. Hallelujah. And my spiritual great-grandpa, because the Bible says we have spiritual fathers, right? In the faith. Praise the Lord, we do. And my spiritual great-grandpa is Brother Hagin. And I never got to meet him personally. I got to see him, but I never got to meet him personally. But I spend a lot of my days with Brother Hagin. You say, I thought he wasn't here. He's not here in physical, but he's still here in the spirit with his messages, his books, praise God. I spend a lot of time with Brother Hagin. Hallelujah. And he had this revelation, one of the many revelations that he had when Jesus appeared to him. And Jesus told him, if you'll learn to follow my spirit, I'll make you rich. Well, doesn't the Bible say the blessing of the Lord makes rich? Yeah. Well, if he said, I'll lead you, where's he going to lead you? Into poverty? No. He said, I'll teach you and guide you how to profit. He said, I'll lead you to profit. If you'll learn to follow the Holy Ghost, you'll learn to profit like you've never profited and prospered before in your life. Hallelujah. Now get this statement. Don't miss this statement. Many people will never experience God's highest and best when it comes to prosperity, because they are carnal and not spiritual beings. What do I mean by that? Every decision they make, every thought, every going forward they make is dictated on natural counsel, human wisdom. They make decisions based on what circumstances tell them or in the mental arena. And that is not how God is leading his people. He said, I'm leading you by the Spirit. I'm not leading you by your checkbook. I'm not leading you by what grandma said or what dad said or what coworker so-and-so said. I'm not leading you by the feelings you get in your flesh about something good. And most people are dictated and live that way, and they miss out on everything that God has for them. Because there are times that God will lead you into something that will make your mind, your flesh, very uncomfortable. And in your mind and flesh will begin to think, oh my gosh, this can't be God. This can't be God. It doesn't look good. Yet the whole time, God had something on the other side of that uncomfortableness for you to take you to a higher level. But because most people are dictated by their flesh and by their mind, they'll never walk into it. But ladies and gentlemen, if you want to do it God's way, you're going to have to learn to hear what the Spirit of God is saying, because that's how He's leading. He's not going to lead you through goosebumps. He's not leading you through tears. He's not leading you through Dr. Phil and Oprah Winfrey and some natural book. No, He's leading you by His Spirit, praise God. But most people won't get it. Go with me to Genesis 13. Genesis 13. Genesis 13. It says, and Abram, verse 1, this is before God changed his name to Abraham, went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Lot was Abraham's nephew. Lot was submitted to Abraham. Lot's spiritual guide in the natural, on the earth, was Abraham. He should have never separated from his spiritual guide. In fact, that's why Lot had what he had, because of being connected to Abraham. So it's important to know that, verse 2. And Abraham was very rich in cattle, in silver, in gold. Well, that's interesting. The Bible says the blessing of Abraham should come upon those that receive Jesus. I guess God's not against money. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, under the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, under the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, Abraham's nephew, which went with Abram, had flocks, herds, and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was so great. They had too much stuff. So God called a man that had too much stuff. God don't care about stuff. God cares about stuff having you. And it's important that you understand that. For their substance was great, they could not dwell together. And there was a strife or an argument between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzites dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife. Abraham was a wise man. Bible says that where envy and strife is, there's confusion and every evil work. If you have bitterness in your heart, unforgiveness in your heart, you know what you're doing? You're saying, devil, come on into my life. If you have strife and bitterness and anger and unforgiveness and resentment in your heart, you are opening the door to the enemy to come in and wreck shop on your life. It's the truth. I know we don't like to hear that, but you need to hear the truth. Amen. You need to take care of that. So, well, I don't know. How important is it your kids stay healthy? How important is it that your kids do the right thing? How important is it that your money works and promotions and favor and blessings and safety for yourself? Oh, it's not that important to me. Oh, it's important to you. Just don't be a pride bucket and hold on to that, because you know what you're doing with your unforgiveness? You're drinking poison, hoping the other person gets the results of it. It's worthless. Except it's hurting your life. And Abraham knew that. He said, there's no strife here. We can't have strife. We're going with God. We cannot have strife. I'll tell you what, a wise man are the peacemakers. Didn't Jesus say, blessed are the peacemakers? The wise person will say, let's fix this. Even if you wronged me, what can we do to make this better? I can't hold anything against you anymore. What do you want? If you say, a pastor, I don't care, in one ear, out the other, then you're saying, pastor, I want the devil in my life. I want the devil on my kids. Why am I being bold? Because people need to hear this stuff. People walk around in pride. What got the devil kicked out of heaven? Pride. He thought he was better than God. He thought his ways were better than God. And his rear end got slammed. Slammed. You don't want your rear end getting slammed. Cast down. Pride goes before the fall. And a prideful person will say, they wronged me, they wronged me, they wronged me. Bye-bye faith. Bye-bye blessing. Hello, devil. I mean, who else is going to tell you this stuff? It's the truth. See, I'm not trying to be popular at this church. I'm trying to be faithful. Because saying those things, it's not popular. A lot of people don't like to hear those things, but it's the truth. And I want to keep you blessed. I want to keep the devil off your life. And Abraham knew it. He said, let there be no strife. We can't have strife. We can't. No, strife is bad. And it said, I pray thee between me and you, between my herb and your herb, for we are brethren. He said in verse 9, is not the whole land before you? Separate yourself. I pray thee from me, if you will take the left, then I will go to the right. If you depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. Now, what Lot should have done is said, listen, I'll just get rid of some of my stuff. Because the reason they're going to separate is because there wasn't enough room to hold their stuff. He should have said, I'm not leaving my spiritual guide. I'll get rid of some of my stuff and free it up. But even if he wasn't going to do that, his next thing should have been, before he went forward in life, God, what do you want me to do? That should have been his response, not what he did. He should have been, and God, I believe with all my heart, I can't prove it by the word, but you can't disprove it. I can strongly influence my proving of it by being connected to people and not separating, and there's a spiritual help in your life. Absolutely. I believe if he would have said, God would have said, get rid of stuff and stay with your man. I believe that with all my heart. Now, even if God wouldn't have, God would have at least directed him in a different direction than where Lot went. Why? Because God loved Lot. Well, he said, let's depart. Verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes to heaven and sought God and asked for the counsel of God and went for what God was saying. And Lot lifted up his eyes and what? Looked and beheld all the plain of the Jordan. Doesn't say anything about God here. He saw that it was well watered everywhere. Before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. So Lot's looking upon a land that we know in the end became Sodom and Gomorrah, a land that was absolutely destroyed, a filthy, wicked, sinful land that God had no part of, wanted no part of. Well, it naturally looked like the best option. It was a place where he could naturally go and prosper. So, being led by the almighty dollar sign, like most people are, Lot went that way. People trade in all the time their obedience to God for the dollar sign, and it always will lead to trouble. Because the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow. You can get the blessing your own way, but you're going to have sorrow attached to it. Why do that to yourself? Verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of the Jordan. One translation said, Lot chose for himself. Never asked God. Never thought to even request, God, what are you saying about this? What are you saying about this? What do you think is the right decision? Where do you think the right place is to go? God never did that. He said, oh, it looks better there. Promotion, increase. Money, I'll go there. And it destroyed his wife. She died. They got taken prisoner. And his children ended up living out a life of pure suffering. You read it out. Abraham and Lot's life are two different lives. One was a man who sought God. One was a man who did things on his own. Yet God loved them both the same. God couldn't. And isn't it interesting that when Lot went towards the wrong way, God wasn't in heaven saying, stop! The Bible says if you'll draw near to him, then he'll draw near unto you. The Bible says if you'll diligently seek him, he'll reward you. It's out of order for God to pursue you. The order is you pursue God. Why? Because he's a gentleman. He's not going to invade your life. He'll let you be broke if you want to. He'll let you go the wrong way if you want to. He'll let you be sick if you want to. He'll let you make bad choices. He let Lot do it. He let Lot do it. Didn't have to do it that way, but that's what Lot chose. People do it all the time. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't be in the house I'm in. I wouldn't be in this church and building that building if I went by the natural. Right. It was the Spirit of God that led us into those things.
Praise the Lord.
But many people, let's face it, make decisions based on money, make decisions based on fear, make decisions based on what's best naturally for them at the time. And they just think, oh, it sure feels good and seems good. Why don't you seek God and ask him?
Yeah.
Why don't you seek God and ask him. I mean, I see people do it all the time in jobs, with vehicles they purchase, with homes that they purchase, with relationships that they get involved with. Listen, There's a spirit on the inside of you that can tell you if you'll seek him, if that car is the right car to buy. If that house is the right house to buy, if that job's the right job to take, if that person's the right person to start going down the road with towards a marriage. Oh, they look pretty. And oh, you know, see, the problem is we have a lot of desperate single people in the body of Christ. I'm not saying in here they're desperate, but I'm saying in the body of Christ, desperate people. You know what desperate people do? They don't listen to God. Someone comes along and gives them a compliment, and it's, oh, woo-hoo. They're blinded by it. It's because you don't have any self-worth. If you understand, ladies that are single and men that are single, that how valuable you are, that you're special and that you're a prize and that you trust your God to bring you some, you won't settle. Yeah. You won't just, I'm lonely. I don't want to be alone all my life. Fear is guiding you. Yeah. It's just a truth. And people do that with jobs. They do it with, people go and make life-altering decisions. It's a huge decision what car you buy. It's a huge decision what home you live in, what job you take. What person you go with. And people never even think to get down on their knees and say, Lord, what do you think about this? What do you think about this, Father? It's because they're not consecrated. A consecrated life says, Father, what do you think about what's going on in my life? What do you think? If life is hard for you constantly, ask God. He'll tell you why. But nobody asks them. They just continue to do things in the natural, stress themselves out, wear themselves out. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. If life isn't light and easy to you, you're doing it wrong. It's true. See, we'll give a nice bold message because then we're going to butter you up with cupcakes. And I think Kim Lai brought root beer floats. I mean, who does that to a picnic? I mean, we ought to just all thank her for that, right? Root beer floats at a picnic? Where'd she go? To make them or something? I don't even know where she is. Get her back in here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, when I quit my job to pastor this church over at the storefront, and I was told to leave my full-time job and pastor the church and stay home with Caleb when he was a little baby, and she was to continue working. I've told you, right? It put us $1,200 to $2,000 short every month. Well, when you have a new baby, man, selfishness goes out the window if you're going to do it right and be a blessing to that child. And I thought, man, we're $1,200 to $2,000 short. I have a baby on the way. What in the world am I going to do? I'm not making any money from the church. I'm staying home all day with him. And then when she comes home, I'm doing church stuff. And then when church stuff was over, my intention was to go get a third shift job. Well, naturally, that would seem like that's what you would do when there's no money, right? I mean, naturally, and I'm telling you this, I understand it. Naturally, and in your mind and your flesh, chasing the dollar and going where more money is seems to be the right thing to do. But not if God's not involved. And the Spirit of God, I mean, I was on my way to apply. Spirit of God strictly warned me, said, don't you dare get a third shift job. It will hurt your church. So I didn't. And guess what? We didn't miss out on anything. We didn't lack anything. Why? We did it God's way. We did it God's way. I love the story that Brother Hagin tells, and I won't get into the details of it for time's sake. But a man that came into church, he got saved, his family got saved, his family got healed, they got jobs, they got promoted, they were blessed. Well, this guy had a specific skill that not many people had, and there was a job that would take him away from the church, hours away. And it paid a lot, it paid double of what he was going to get. Now, most people, if they're offered a double salary, they're gone. See ya. I'm taking the money. Well, this guy was going to do that. And Brother Hagin said, Brother, where are you going? Well, they offered me a job. It pays double. He said, so let me get this straight. First of all, I said to him, what church are you going to go to? He said, well, I'm sure I'll find one when I get there. I had no idea. And Brother Hagin knew the area. He said, you ain't going to find a church like this. It matters what church you go to. It ain't about just going to church. A lot of people are going to church and walking out defeated, miserable, depressed, full of anxiety. Their lives are struggling. Yes. It matters that you go to the right place because it's not the act of sitting in church that changes your life. It's the act of sitting in the right church and doing what that church is telling you that changes your life. And so Brother Hagin knew that city. He said, hey, no church like this. No church is going to tell you the word. He said, so let me get this straight, brother. You came here and got born again in this church. You came here and your whole family got healed and your whole family's serving God in this church and you're going to leave because of money? He said, did you ask God about it? Because if God's telling you to go, go.
Yeah.
He said, you know, Brother Hagin, I never even thought to ask God. And that's what most people are. I never even thought to ask God. This is something I like, so I want to do it. This is something I have a desire, so I want to do it. This is something that pays money, so I want to do it. Never even consult God. That's what people do all the time. So he prayed, and God said, don't go. God's not going to lead you to be spiritually bankrupt. He hasn't lined your pockets so you could be spiritually bankrupt. Because I'll tell you what, when you go spiritually bankrupt, it will show up in your money. Absolutely. And so he didn't go, and he stayed. And over a period of time, got promoted to something better and got paid way more than the job he was going to take. Why? He followed God.
Right.
Follow God. Keep trying to do things your way. You'll be frustrated.
Right.
You'll be frustrated. Praise God.
Amen.
You can't expect to prosper trusting the natural. You can't expect to prosper trusting the natural. My first job that I ever, you know, I had 26 jobs in 2 years. I don't count those as jobs because most of them, I didn't even show up. I got hired but didn't show up. I don't know how many times I had her call in and tell them my grandma died. I mean, grandma just kept dying and dying and dying just because that's the kind of character. I had no integrity, no character back then. And then I'd show up and work a day. This ain't for me. I'm out of here. Sayonara. One place I got to hire me back twice after I quit on them twice. I just charmed my way back in then quit on them again. And I ran into the guy and his son the other day that hired me. I said, sir, I said, I have to tell you. I said, I apologize for what I did to you back then. I said, I've accepted Jesus now, and I'm different. I pastor two churches, and I'm so sorry if I made things hard. I just felt it in my heart to, because he sees me, he probably thinks, there's that loser. He tricked me two times, quit on me twice. Yeah. And so I don't count those as jobs, really. And so my first job, when I got born again, I got faithful, was at a convenience store. But that job didn't come with any benefits, or the pay was kind of low. But God's a God of promotion. And I remember looking through the newspaper. I had gotten a 2-year degree, barely, by the skin of my teeth. And I saw a job in the paper for an after-school coordinator for kindergarten through fourth grade. The pay was something I'd never received before. The benefits, it came with vacation time, it came with sick days, it came with health benefits. I mean, for someone like me that never, I mean, that was just amazing to me, right? It was like, wow. And I was reading down through it, but at the end it said, must have a bachelor's degree or higher or more higher education than that, master's or whatever. And I said, like any normal person without a bachelor's degree would say, that's not my job. And I went to start looking back, and the Holy Ghost said, stop, apply for that job. And I said, that job? The one with the bachelor's degree? That job, the Holy Spirit said. This is learning to be led by the Spirit. And I said, Lord, you do know how to read, and you do realize this says you need a bachelor's degree, which I don't have, unless you're planning on FedExing me one through the clouds and getting me a bachelor's degree. They're going to laugh at me when I apply. He said, apply for the job. Well, I did. I obeyed the Spirit. Why? Because the Spirit's the way to go. See, God knows the future. You can only see what's in front of you. God knows what's behind you. God knows what's behind that, what you can see in the future. So I did. I applied for it. And they called me in. And they interviewed me. I'm like, oh, man, maybe they didn't see my resume. Maybe they didn't see there's no bachelor's. Maybe they're just going to bypass that. And they interviewed me. They called me back for a second interview. I'm like, oh, they must not have looked all the way down the resume. Because I made sure my resume looked good. I don't know how I made it look good, but I made it look good. I buttered that thing up without even lying. I couldn't lie anymore. You know, I was born again. I had a check in my heart about lying. Actually, I should say this. The first job I ever got after I got born again was working at an airport as a waiter. And I was born again. I was blood-bought, saved, a Christian. And I quit that job because I still had some of my old tendencies. I told the lady that I was dying of a stomach condition. That's your pastor. If you want to leave now, go ahead. The door's unlocked. I told her I was dying of a stomach condition. And I went home and told the gentleman. I said, I did something bad tonight. He got me the job. They said, oh, brother, what'd you do? I said, I quit my job. They said, what'd you tell him? I said, I told him I'm dying. And he started hitting his leg. If you know Reverend Randy Nelbone, you'll know why. He's hitting his leg and laughing so hard. Can't believe it. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. But anyways, then I got a job, was faithful at it. But then this was my first real job that paid me benefits and things like that. So I applied. They called me for a second interview. And they said, you know, we've had people in here with bachelor's degrees. We've had people in here with master's degrees. such high education, way more experience than you. Said, but you know what? For some reason, they said, for some, they didn't even know why. I'm thinking, well, gee, thanks. But they said, for some reason, you're our guy. I said, oh, well, that's wonderful, but I'm like, I have to tell them because if in the future, I said, but what about, I don't have a bachelor's degree. They said, we want you in this job so bad, we are going back and rewriting and changing our policy for what's required for this job just to let you in. God's wonderful. My point being is I never would have applied for that if I hadn't listened to the Spirit. Don't argue with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost isn't stupid. He's not telling me to apply so I can go there and have him say, we actually need somebody that can read, because obviously you can't because this says bachelor's degree and you don't have one. No, the Holy Ghost isn't like that. Hallelujah. Praise God. You don't mind these stories, do you? Telling you about the Holy Ghost. Telling you what the Holy Ghost is saying. I won't tell the whole story because it's long and some people have heard it, but it's worth repeating because it builds faith in people. But the house I'm in now, pulled up that thing, I liked it. I liked that house. Pulled in, looked it up on my phone, saw how much it was, and said, I don't like this house anymore. I think I'll pass on this house. She just quit her job by being led by the Spirit to stay home with Caleb so I could do this church thing full time and give my all to it and not have to be home and stay at home. I'll tell you, stay at home, folks, it is a tough thing. It's a busy thing, and it's not an easy job, and I knew that, and that was taking me away from the church. Well, she had quit her job. And the house that we were, that when she had her full-time job and I had started finally getting some pay from the church, and we had been approved by the bank for a certain amount of money for a mortgage. Well, when she quit her job, obviously that approval of what the bank's going to give you is going to go way down because they're going to go by your income. Well, this house was listed for tens of thousands of dollars more than what we were approved for when she was working. So I'm sitting there looking at a house I like, seeing the price on my phone, knowing we have one income of a church that's just growing. I'm not Joel Osteen, pastor in 25,000 member church in Lakewood, Texas. And so I know, and I'm thinking, there's no way. And the Holy Ghost in my heart said, make an appointment to see this thing. Okay, I know enough to obey you. Made an appointment to see the thing. Walked in the front door, stepped in the front door, looking out through our house, the living room, then it goes into a kitchen and then a laundry room. And the Spirit of God said, this is your house. I knew it was my house at that point. And I left that meeting. And I said, let's make an appointment. I want to walk the property. There's 22 wooded acres on it. And when I left that meeting, I said, the Holy Spirit says, this is ours. This is our home. How in the world it's going to happen, I have no idea. But I didn't know how in the world I'd get that job either. I could tell you a whole lot of I don't know how in the world stories, but God made a way. Ladies and gentlemen, your God is a way maker. He makes ways when there's no way. If you'll do it his way, he'll make a way. He'll make a way. If he's got to part a sea, he will. If he's got to shut the mouths of lions, he will. If he'll have to protect you in a fiery furnace, he will. If he has to have you going against a giant way bigger than you and stronger and more naturally prepared than you, and you're going to slew that thing, he'll do it because he's a waymaker. And so I made an appointment to see the house, or to see the house, the property. Well, the realtor had hurt his ankle. So when we're walking the property, it was easy to follow the boundaries. It was a hot summer day. The bugs were everywhere. It's a little bit, part of it swampy, so there's a lot of mosquitoes. She's way ahead. I mean, she's just double timing it to get out of these woods, you know. She could give a rip. I care about what the woods look like. She's way up. The realtor's hobble-along realtor back here who can't get along because he just hurt his ankle. So I'm in the middle all by myself. And I'm praying. I said, Lord, I know your voice. I know you said this is my house. But Father, you know how much money we have. You know what we were naturally approved for. You know what my salary is. How in the world are you going to make this happen? And this is what the Holy Ghost said to me. Three specific things. He said, when you get back, you tell the realtor. Now, I didn't talk to a bank or nothing since we got approved with two. He said, you tell the realtor, we want the house and the money's in the bank. So the Holy Ghost said, say, that's lying. No, it was in the bank. It just wasn't my bank account. It just wasn't in my name. That's what he said to say. And then he said, and tell him to tell the owner that you don't need to sell your house first. I said, but I do need to sell my house first. We can't even afford the payment on that house, let alone the payment on that house and the payment on our other house that we're getting out of. He said, tell him you don't need to sell your house first. And then there was another one, third thing. I said, stop talking. Say any more. He said, tell them to tell her that she can take as long as she wants to move out, and even use the words, tell her, if she wants to take 4 years to move out, you're fine with it. I said, Lord, if I sell my house, I have nowhere to go. And see, what her situation was is they were building her like a residential complex, some place where it's not assisted living right now, but it goes into assisted living when she would need that, takes care of all her lawn, her plowing, just very low maintenance for her, and that's what she wanted to do. Well, they were building that and had no idea when the end would be. I didn't know this at the time. So the key to us getting this house that we're in now was all a timing thing for this woman. She didn't care so much about the money because we actually prayed. We said we need to know what to offer for this because we can't afford what they're offering, not even close. We won't even get approved for that. And the Holy Ghost gave me a number, gave her a number. We said, okay, let's prove this out. I said, on the count of three, you tell me what the Spirit of God told you to offer for that house, and I'll tell you what he told me. 1, 2, 3, bam, to the penny. We said the exact dollar amount that the Holy Spirit said to go into a meeting. In fact, he said, schedule a meeting with her. So I said, I wanted to have a meeting with her and give a proposal. The realtor said, I've only done this one other time, but the things you're telling me are some of the craziest things I've ever heard a young homeowner say to do. So we did. We had a meeting with her, and I told her those three things the Holy Ghost said. I said, this is a cash deal. I said, don't worry. The money will be there. All the money will be there that you need. I said, and secondly, I said, we don't have to sell our house first. Don't worry about that. Wait, and, you know, because that can hold people up, because she needs the money from us, and most people can't get the money to her until they get rid of their old house and move into the new house. And I said, Mrs. Anderson, her name was Anderson. I mean, it was always meant for us. There's a barn in the back that has a sign that says Anderson Maples Products, and I've never made maple syrup in my life, but it says I do. I guess I did sometime. And so I said, Mrs. Anderson, you take as long as you want to move out. I said, I don't care. You take as long as you want. I never told her God told me any of this. You don't use God over people. She wouldn't understand that and pressure her. I said, you take as long as you want to move out. And I said, and by the way, if you say no to this, I said, and we'd run into you at Wegmans because we both shop there. I said, we're going to give you a big hug. I said, but we'd love to raise our family here. This is where we want to raise our family. And so I said, now let's get to the price. And I said, I know what you're offering for it. And I said, I'm not here to play games. I don't want to do the back and forth. I don't want to offer way low just to hope that you take it. Because I knew in my heart, when I asked the Lord, what will she say yes to, he gave me that number. He didn't give me a number to haggle and to negotiate with. And maybe there's other things that I've done that with and vehicles, but this case was different. I followed the Spirit on it. He said, you just tell her that's what the number she's going to accept. And I didn't tell her God said that, but I said, the number I'm going to tell you, that's the number we'll pay for this house. I said, we're not doing this to lowball you, and we're not doing this to have you come back and raise it. I said, this is our number. And we told her, and she kind of went, Because, ladies and gentlemen, it was tens of thousands of dollars less than she had on the asking price. And I know that when somebody asks, they don't expect to get that much, but they don't expect to get that little either that we were offering. And as I offered that, I said, that's what we'll pay for the house. Thank you for your time, and left. Well, the realtor called me. He was my realtor and her realtor, called and said, we have a problem. Three families have offered her full price for the home. I said, that's okay. That's okay. Just let us know. I already knew it was my house. See, when you know that you know, you're not worried about all the noise.
That's right. Yeah.
I knew that I knew. He said, I've offered her full price. So that's okay. But the problem was, and this is where the Holy Ghost is so good, every single one of those families had to sell their house first. And time was such a huge factor for this older lady. She didn't want to have to move out of her house and go somewhere to where she wasn't comfortable going. She didn't know when. She didn't know if it'd be done in a year or two. And when we told her, you take as long as you want, she didn't ever expect to hear that. When we told her, you take as long as you want, and we don't have to sell our house first, she knew, hey, they don't have any contingencies here. They're ready to go. Now, I was thinking in my head, holy cow, Lord, if she gets out of this house and we have to move in, what's going to happen then? Where's the money going to come from? But see, he had it all worked out, perfect timing. But see, I didn't know the timing factor was huge to her, but the Holy Ghost did. And those things that I presented to her were such blessings. She said, I don't care that we're not getting offered full price. I don't care about the money. It's the timing and being comfortable. She was comfortable in life. She didn't need that extra money. She said, I'll take the deal. Praise God. I'll take the deal. You say, oh, you're a lucky pastor. No, I'm someone that knows the voice of God. And you can know the voice of God. If you'll take time to hear from him, things are messed up in your life and your finances, get in prayer and ask him. seek him, and then do whatever he says, no matter how uncomfortable or how crazy it seems to your mind. He wants to guide you and lead you into prosperity.
Hallelujah.
I said I'd be done around 11:30. I told Jake, I said, if live stream doesn't work and you're over there, just start cooking at 11:30. So when we get over, it'll be ready. So we're almost done here. Almost done. So I could go story after story, tell you different people after different people, and I could tell you areas where I disobeyed this, where it seemed good in the natural, and I went with it because it seemed good in the natural, and I had a check in my heart, or when it seemed bad in the natural, but my heart was saying, and I didn't obey, and I got hurt for it. I could tell you those stories. And so your prosperity, what if God's leading you to a job that might not seemingly pay enough, but God knows there's a promotion waiting for you that's going to pay you more than you ever thought? What if? What if you see a beautiful vehicle, but God knows, hey, 6 months down the road, that thing's a lemon. God knows. What if you meet somebody, oh, they're the man or the woman of your dreams. They're so pretty. They're so handsome. They're so nice. But God knows, oh, this is just all an act, all a front to try to get things from you that you shouldn't be giving up until you're married, right? Trying to get you to do. What if the Spirit of God knows who they really are? Blessing of the Lord maketh rich. You'll never walk into the prosperity that is designated for you personally and your family until you learn to follow the Holy Ghost and obey Him. And last but not least, when it comes to sowing seed, Holy Ghost sowing, are you obedient when the Spirit of God tells you to write a check that almost hurts? Are you obedient? Are you obedient when the Spirit of God says, do something for somebody? Do this for the building fund. Do this for the church. Do this for this ministry. Do this for this minister. Do this for this brother or sister in Christ that makes you uncomfortable to do because of the amount. Or maybe he tells you to do something on a frequency when, you know, just kind of always be a blessing. I don't know what he's going to say. I'm just telling you ways he's worked with me. Are you going to obey him? Because you might think, my God, writing that check, that's going to cause me to decrease. No, God knows if you'll get that seed in the ground, you'll have increase. Some of my biggest harvests came from Spirit-led giving that the Holy Ghost told me specifically who to give it, when to give it, and how much to give it. And almost every time he does that, it's a check that hurts to write. What do I mean by that? It's a sacrifice. It hasn't always been that way, but most of the time. And you know what? Those are my biggest harvests. But you know why they're my biggest harvests? Because I probably naturally wouldn't have sown that much myself. I needed the Holy Ghost to tell me, do this. So then I got a bigger seed in the ground than I've ever got before. I know. Some of you might be just going, zing, zing. If you want to stay below what God has for you, that's fine. You can tune this out. You cannot do whatever God's saying to you. But why live below? Why live less than what God has for you? Amen?
Amen.
Tithe, bring offerings, and follow the Holy Ghost. And we're not done. We have 2 weeks, as far as I know, 2 weeks left to go of things that will help you prosper and hinder you. And let me address a thought real quick as I close. I'll turn, shut my Bible off, turn the phone off where my notes are at. When you're unfamiliar with something, like the faith message or the prosperity message, the devil will give you the thought, oh my gosh, this checklist of stuff never ends. How in the world am I going to be able to have to do all this stuff? Do you remember the first time you started driving?
Yeah.
For me, the first time I started driving, it was a hectic thing, right? There was, oh my gosh, all these controls, mirrors, right? Got to watch your speed limit. Make sure your seatbelt's buckled. Make sure your hands are in the right position. Make sure you're in between the lines. Always checking your mirrors. Not getting too close. When you make turns, right? You don't want to do too sharp. All these different things. At least, I don't know. Am I the only one when you first started driving? I was like, holy cow, how am I ever going to get this? You know, when I first started shooting my bow, I was like, how am I ever going to be a consistent archer? I got to pull it back, make sure it's anchored in the same place. I got to make sure my arm's in the same place. I got to make sure my grip's in the same place. I got to make sure I don't have too much pressure on the bow. Got to make sure my arm's straight. Got to make sure my feet are right. Got to make sure my breathing's right. Got to make sure the way I pull the trigger on the release is the same. All these things, when I would first do it, I'd be running down thinking, I'll never be a good shot. I'll never be good at this because there's too much. But you know what? When I got more acquainted with it, with driving, you know what? I still check my mirrors. I still make sure I'm in the lines. I still make sure I'm going the speed limit. But you know what? It all is second nature now.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting there thinking, oh my gosh, I got to do this. I'm not sitting there thinking, okay, pull back, release, squeeze, breathe. I'm just going. Bullseye. Yet I'm doing everything on the checklist, but I've been so acquainted with it. See, when people aren't acquainted with the things of God, it looks like a checklist to them. And the devil will give them thoughts. You'll never be able to do it. It's one thing after another, one thing after another. No, it's not. You start doing it, you'll be like me. What do I mean by that? You know what? I tithe, I give offerings, I follow the Holy Ghost. I don't sit there and think, okay, make sure I tithe first, give offerings. No, it just flows naturally. With the faith message, when a bill shows up or a situation shows up that requires faith, I don't go, okay, the steps of faith are first I got to have faith. Faith comes by hearing. I got to hear the word. Once I hear the word, now faith has to be released. Okay, once I release my faith, I have to believe that I receive it when I release it. Okay, once I believe I receive when I released it, then I got to enter into thanksgiving. Okay, once I enter into thanksgiving, I stand my ground. Once I stand my ground, I just wait for it to manifest. No. Something comes in, I just say, it's done. God's good. This is what's going to happen. I'm doing all the steps of faith, but I'm not sitting there. Why? I'm acquainted with it. When you become acquainted with doing it God's way, you'll start to flow, and it doesn't, it's not a checklist anymore. It just naturally happens. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God wants to take us higher. He wants to bless us. Glory to God. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for the word. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are endeavoring to speak to us. You are endeavoring to lead us into good things, for you are one third of the Godhead. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, three in one, dwelling on the inside of us, endeavoring to show us things to come, to guide us into all that God has for us, if we would just take the time to listen. Lot didn't take the time to listen, and it affected his whole life. And we could say, you might be able to say to yourself with heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm in a position today because I probably didn't listen. I'm in a position today where I didn't really do things the right way. Well, you have two choices. You can go forward and beat the heck out of yourself and regret and live with regrets your whole life, or you can say, I'm going to do it God's way from this point on, and the best days of the rest of my life are still ahead of me. You have a choice. God's not holding your past and your failures, your financial mistakes, the things you did wrong in your family, things you did wrong with your kids, things you did wrong with your marriage, not holding it against you. That's not how he works. You have an opportunity, if you could say, I have not counseled God in my life. I've just kind of done what I thought was best. Repent and go forward different. He wants to take you to a different place, a better place. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. The Holy Ghost comes to dwell on the inside of you, and he becomes this guide. He becomes this help. He becomes the voice of God in your life to lead you to good things. And that all starts at the cross by receiving Jesus, accepting Jesus into your heart. Now, you might hear that and say, that sounds so weird, and I've heard about people like that and that born-again crazy talk. What is that? Well, ask yourself this question, everybody that can hear my voice. If today were my last day on planet Earth, where would I go? Now, I know that's an uncomfortable question to ask, but you go home and pick up the newspaper and look in the beginning few pages called the obituaries. Every single day, people are encountering that last day of their life. It will happen to us as well if Jesus doesn't come back. Well, when that happens, I want to know that I know that I'd go to heaven. Ask yourself, if today were my last day on planet Earth, do I know that I'd go to heaven? Because when I ask myself that question, my answer isn't, oh, I'm not sure, I hope so. It's, oh my gosh, I know I'm going. You say, Pastor, how can you be sure that you're going to heaven? What makes you so special? Jesus. Jesus makes me special. The Bible says the way I get to heaven is by accepting Jesus into my heart. He won't barge his way in. He'll knock, but you have to open the door to him. The Bible says if you'll accept the Lord, if you'll ask him into your heart, Jesus said, I'm the ticket to heaven. Just like if you go to Disney World, you can't go with a Universal Studios ticket. You can't go with a SeaWorld ticket. You got to have a Disney World ticket. Well, to get into heaven, you got to have a Jesus ticket. And you say, what's that going to cost me? Nothing. It's free. You don't have to become a member of this church. You don't have to do any religious backflips or jump through hoops. All you have to do to be a qualified candidate for salvation is two things. Number one, if you can say, I do believe that Jesus was real. Okay, that's one step. Number two is asking him into your heart. Now, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. I'm not going to embarrass anybody. I'm not going to have anybody come forward or stand up and say anything on their own. But if you could say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven, but boy, you make it sound easy. And if that's all it takes, I want to get in on this. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you want to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, with nobody looking and heads bowed, would you just lift your hand in the air? It's a free gift. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody, I see that hand in the back. You can put that down. Anybody else want to receive Jesus? Don't let this moment pass you by. It's not costing you anything. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. This is between you and God. I don't like to rush this because sometimes people are shy. But anybody else want to receive Jesus before we go forward that never has? You can put your hand down. Anybody else? You can put your hand down. I see that hand. Anybody want to receive Jesus? Anybody want to receive Jesus? Hallelujah. Father, we had some hands. Some of them were first-time hands. Some of them were people that have repeated. Now I want to mention that. Those of you that have raised their hand before, you have to understand God accepted you the first time. You don't have to re-ask Him to come into your heart. It doesn't matter if you had a bad week, a bad day. Just ask for forgiveness. He didn't leave you. And if you're here and you say, I didn't raise my hand, so what? It's not the raising of the hand that gets you saved. So if you raised your hand, or if you should have raised your hand, or if you're listening by live stream and you've never made Jesus your Lord, as a whole church, we're going to invite Him into our hearts this morning. You're not going to stand alone and have to say anything by yourself. But if you didn't raise your hand and you want to get in on this, all you have to do is mean this with your heart. I'll lead you in a prayer inviting Jesus into your heart. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Please repeat this after me, the whole church. Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross for my sin. I believe that you rose from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here real quick and we'll head over to the picnic. If you prayed that, the next step for you now is to plant yourself in a Bible teaching church. You can go to heaven if you don't, but you'll miss out on everything God has for you. Get into a church, learn the Word of God, start doing the Word of God, and watch life be changed. And before we go over there, because we're all going to be getting over there at different times, let's go ahead right now and let's bless the food that so many of you have prepared and that Jake's over there cooking right now. And let's just bless the food and believe God for a fun picnic. Amen? Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for all that you did here in this service. Father, we ate so good spiritually. Now we're going to go eat so good naturally. And Father, we ask that you'd bless this food to our body. Father, we thank you. You take sickness from the midst of us. Father, I thank you that we live long, healthy, wealthy, protected, and strong. And we're not sick, broke, in danger, or in fear, or in trouble, or weak a day of our lives. We thank you for a blessed picnic. And Father, beforehand, I thank you for Cal and I's victory in the balloon toss and the egg toss. For you said, I'll have what I say. In Jesus' name, amen. It's done. It's done. You can go over now. Hallelujah.